Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And this week we come to you with yet another brain dump. We're slightly delayed with our end of the month ritual where we dump our thoughts onto our microphones because, well, we just had to speak to all these amazing people who we came across the last few weeks and have a chat with them. So if you haven't heard our interviews with Tina, with Tia, with Amandeep and Sukhminder, do it right now.
So now that you're done with the shameless plug, I guess we can proceed to our brain dump. This is our one chance every month, apart from the letters, obviously, that we write to each other every week, to delve deep into everything that's going on in our lives outside of the podcast world. And after we started season three, this is our first chance to just relax and chat about what's up. I remember, Meenal, from December of last year, you've had one big exam after the other, and we've talked about your exams here too. But on top of everything else, you just returned from a really big sports tournament held in Sweden. So that's as far as my knowledge about sportsing and your sportsing event at Sweden goes. So why don't you tell both me and our listeners about this tournament?
Well, Ankita, I told you a couple of months back that I play table tennis. And just like most of my friends, you had this expression on your face, like, you play ping pong? I'm like, it's not ping pong, it's table tennis.
No, I never got how, because you would come back from training and you would say that it was so hard that muscles that I never even knew existed in my body are hurting now. And I never knew how table tennis could be so rigorous.
Yeah, well, I used to play for about 10 years when I was in Gibraltar. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but in Gibraltar, for us to play sports is all for free because it's all funded by the government. So by the age of 8, I was like literally every sport you could think of. Basketball, cricket, football, volleyball, and table tennis. And table tennis was my main one because I really enjoyed it and I had a really good coach. But then at the age of 15, I was told that I could represent Gibraltar, which is my country, in an international competition. So I trained very hard on top of the school exams that I had. Then a few months in, they said, look, Meenal, we don't have the money to send you. And that was pretty much the end of my dreams. My life is over. No. Yeah. Well, that's how it felt at that time. But then I thought, you know, well, that's when I went into running. That's when I did the half marathon, my first ever half marathon. And I came first in that as well. So it's not like it was the end of that, of table tennis, or it wasn't the end of my sportsing life, but it was something I really loved. And unfortunately, there were no funds with the table tennis club in Gibraltar. There were no funds from my parents because my parents had my brother to take care of as well. So it just didn't work out. Then I went to university. I didn't play at all in university. But then 6 months ago, someone from Gibraltar said, hey, Meenal, there's an international tournament in Sweden. Do you want to play? And I said, well, I haven't played in so long. I would need to train. So luckily I found a club and I thought, you know what? Let's do it. And it's funny because I think this is the year, my fifth year, is probably the year that I've taken up so many projects. And then I was like, hey, let's take another one. So I had a lot going on, Ankita, but I think having so much going on made me even more focused on everything that I was doing, if that makes any sense.
Well, I think you were short on time. So whatever little amount of time you had to do, whatever task you had in front of you at that time, you would just put your everything into that one task and not get distracted. Because you knew that if you didn't do it now, you wouldn't have time to do it later. So you would actually pay full attention to what you were doing and get it done.
I think that people did ask me, like, Meenal, are you sure you want to do this? Because it's tough. I mean, I'm not saying it was easy, but I think that fifth year is probably being one of the best years of medical school. I don't know what sixth year is going to be like, which would be my final year. But I...
Is it because in fifth year you met me and became my friend?
Oh, shut up.
So, once again, about the Sweden thing, what was this tournament about? You were representing Gibraltar, I know that, but what was the tournament? What was it called?
So, it's called the Island Games, and Gibraltar technically is not an island, it's a peninsula. Do you know what a peninsula is, Barb?
Yeah, it's surrounded on all three sides by water, just like India.
Except one side, that side is obviously Spain, that is not surrounded by water. But we qualify, for some reason, we qualify as an island for these games. So all the islands around the world come. Not all of the islands, because there is a limit to the population of the island. I think if the island has a population over 100,000 or 200,000, they can't participate in these games. Okay. So, like, I was like, where's Indonesia? But everyone's like, it's too big of an island. So there were, you know, islands like Greenland, Faroe Islands, and a lot of islands I've never heard of. Like, one was called Saaremaa.
Oh.
I was like,
what?
It's near Latvia, actually, in Estonia.
Oh.
So there were a lot of interesting islands that I've never heard of. And so that's what it was. It was the island games. And it wasn't just table tennis. It was all sports. So it's, I'm not saying it, I can't compare it to the Olympics, but it's the same system of events like the Olympics has. It was only for 1 week. And we had table tennis, and I played in the singles and I played in the doubles event.
So did everyone from Gibraltar stay together?
No, they basically booked a whole hotel for us. We all stayed there, but everyone was doing their own thing, Ankita. The people were so busy because you're not just going to compete. In the days that you have to train and you have to watch the other players and you have to watch the other sports to get an idea of what's happening, right? So it wasn't really much of a holiday when we didn't have to play.
I remember I asked if you were all staying together because you called me and the connection was really weak. But I could still hear, I think the Gibraltar basketball team won or something. And I could hear all of them just jumping into the swimming pool and shouting. You were like, can you hear that?
Yeah, the Gibraltar men's team won a silver medal for the first time in maybe 15 years. It was a very big moment for them. And they all jumped into the swimming pool. And, you know, for the first time, the first time in a long time where I felt proud that, like, you know, people in my country are bringing medals home. It's a big deal. Like, it's not easy. And they weren't just bringing medals home. Like, the people were breaking national records in the swimming, in the running. People were breaking records. And you just start to appreciate being surrounded in that kind of environment where people want to be the best. And people won't take no for an answer. And unfortunately, when I'm at university, there are a lot of people where it's so easy that you can, when you associate yourself with certain people, it's easy to get lazy. You know, it's easy to, like, take a step back and be laid back. But when I'm working with people like you, or when I'm working with other athletes, you start to realize that hard work is of value.
Yeah, I mean, you have the same influence on me. It obviously is rubbing off on me. But you were playing both doubles as well as singles, right? In table tennis, you were you didn't go there just for singles.
No, we went there for ladies doubles. We were supposed to play mixed doubles, where I would play with a man in doubles, but we just didn't have the players to go. But it was a funny sort of combination because the girl that I played with, she trains in the UK, I train in Prague. So the first thing is we're separated by distance, which means that we've never trained together. The second thing is she has a different coach to myself. So obviously coaches have different ways of playing.
Yeah.
So we didn't do too bad. I mean, we won one match together. And then we didn't get through the group stages because we didn't win the rest. But we didn't win the rest, but we still won sets within those matches. I don't know if you know what that means. But
no, not really, but I'm nodding my head.
Yeah. I know you're thinking about that KFC you had for dinner.
It was bad.
But yeah, so we played the doubles, and I think I did say this to you, you know, Ankita, that when we played the doubles, it was the first time where I've been playing and there've been cameras around me, there've been journalists around me and people cheering me on, and I was overwhelmed by that.
You know what? I'm going to link the interview that you... Not the interview. Remember you came on the news?
Oh, yeah.
And it's on YouTube. I'm going to link that in the show notes for anyone who's interested.
Yeah.
See, because they actually say Milovis from Gibraltar.
Milovis.
And they show you. Milovis.
Milovis.
Yeah, I sent that to all my friends. I sent that to my parents.
Really?
And I'm pretty sure my dad probably sent that to other people as well because he does that.
That's really kind of you, Ankita. I was quite happy that they put the effort to show table tennis, because the big problem in Gibraltar is, it's not a problem in any other country, honestly. It's just in Gibraltar that people just don't care about table tennis. There's no money going into the club. There's no media bringing any information. And all the media are just going to football, basketball, athletics. Hmm. And then table tennis is just left alone. So I was very happy that we came up. Not because I was on the news, but the fact that they mentioned table tennis.
Yeah. And when you were playing singles, you explained what happened during the doubles, but when you were playing singles, you almost won.
Yeah, again, Ankita, this was my first ever competition. So I think I lost because of my lack of experience. You know, I was in the group stages and I played my first match and I won. Then the second match, I lost, but I anticipated that loss, so it was okay. Then I knew I had to win the next match to get to the next round, but that went on to 5 sets. Again, you probably know what that means, but basically, it was so tight that we had to keep playing more and more. Mm. And the lady that I played, I spoke to her after, and she said that she's been playing for 30 years. And I'm like, I'll be playing for 5 months. So can you imagine? I mean, I know, like, if I had an extra year of training in my pocket, it would have been okay, because I was, excuse my language, but I was shit scared when I was playing on the table. I was too scared to attack. I was too scared to play I was not playing my game, because I was just like, get it on the table, just get the ball on the table. So that's all pretty much I did. But it was, again, it was just a lack of experience, which I hope to gain now, because the next Island Games, which are happening in Gibraltar in 2019.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah, and you promised you'll come and watch me, Barb.
Yeah, 2019, I'm actually promising you on this podcast, I'll come and watch it. Because to travel to Gibraltar, I don't have to get a visa.
Yeah, that's the only reason you're coming, right?
Yeah, that's the only reason I'm coming. And I want to see Gibraltar, I want to see The Rock, and I want to go, like, cave exploring or whatever you do.
We're not cavemen.
You have caves over there, and I know people go inside and explore them. That's what I want to do.
But it takes 30 seconds to explore them.
Really?
The tiny caves. There's one main cave, but Gibraltar you will see in one day, and you don't need more than that. It's a tiny place, but the issue is now is that I think we had about 25 or 30 islands in Sweden. And okay, just to be more specific, we weren't in Sweden, because Sweden's not technically an island. We were in Gotland. It's just off Sweden. So it was fine there. There was plenty of space for everyone to be accommodated. But in Gibraltar, now they're thinking, where the hell do we put all these people?
Yeah.
So like, they're thinking, like, maybe to get a ferry boat, like a temporary ferry, and just accommodate them there.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, but it's a big problem, Ankita, because they just don't know where to put all these people.
Yeah. Obviously, clearly, very clearly, the last 5 to 6 months have been really hectic for you. But at the end of the day, what do you think you're taking away from this?
Not to have Kentucky Fried Chicken before you record a podcast.
Why? I'm doing just fine. I'm just slightly disappointed with my dinner.
Look at your face.
What's wrong with my face? Are you calling me ugly?
Okay, but on a more serious note, what I would take... It's a difficult question, because I think I learn a lot every day. And I'm still, like, trying to get my head around everything. But I think that So one thing I sort of realized is that, you know when people say there's light at the end of the tunnel?
Yep.
Like, I just hate that phrase now. Because people kept saying that to me. So, like, I did one exam. Oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, you do that exam. Then there's another bloody tunnel, because there's another exam. Then you're like, yeah, there's light at the end of the tunnel. So I don't like that phrase, because I just believe that in life that you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, that's fine. But there's so many problems you have to face. And I'm not just talking about
there's
my
exams.
There's
so many tunnels.
Yeah, there's so many bloody tunnels that you have to go through. So, you know, there were times where I wanted to give up. There were times where I cried. And I'll be honest, I cried because it was too much. It was overwhelming. But then those tears are what really pushed me to keep going. And I think that the most, you know, I never really understood the whole idea of having supportive friends around you, because let's be honest, I don't have many friends. So
I'm your singular friend.
But just having you, Ankita, like having a supportive friend like you, and to say, like, Mila, you can do it every day, just makes a huge difference. So if there is anyone who's maybe going through a tough time or going through a rough patch or whatever, I think just look for your closest friends, because they can offer you so much support that you probably wouldn't even imagine.
Oh, Barb, I have a tear right here.
That is my line. You see, there you go. Again, this is exactly what I meant by stealing jokes.
But I deliver them better than you. They finally become my jokes.
And also we you know, Ankita, we've been also working towards a charity in Kenya. So you know that we've had to pay for school fees, and there are times where you get scared that maybe these kids might not be able to go to school because they haven't paid their fees. And it doesn't seem like a big deal when I look at it now. But you know, every day when you get messages like, oh, Minal, feminism India is down. Minal, the kids need money. The kids don't have any food. And there's just so many things happening every day that it sort of puts you off mentally. So I think a second thing that I learned was that don't reply to messages when you're flustered or when you're, you know, or when you have too much to do. Like when I used to come back from table tennis, I would immediately reply to messages. Mm. And I didn't reply to them nicely, and sometimes I was quite rude. So now I've just learned that you come home, yeah, you see your messages, doesn't mean you have to reply immediately.
Messaging is such a tricky thing, messaging especially, because when you talk to someone face-to-face, even if you've had a bad day, when you're talking to someone face-to-face, like if I Skype you,
yeah,
then I would be able to communicate in a lot of other ways through my gestures, through my facial expressions, and I could maybe convey to you that, listen, I'm tired, but I'm here for you or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you send a message, even if it's like one word or one sentence, it's so easy for the other person to read that message mentally with a different intonation,
yeah,
and that just like, but yeah, just, that can mess everything up.
Just like today, we were supposed to record this at 7 p.m. BST, and I thought it was 8 p.m. BST, and my mom was making my burgers for dinner, and Ankita, you messaged me, right, saying, Minal, are you ready? And I said, but I thought we were recording an hour later, and you said, no, I said we would start editing at this time, whatever. And I wasn't sure if you were angry or not, because you had a long day. Like, I know you weren't angry, Ankita, of course I know that, but I know... Yeah. Obviously our listeners don't know, but I know the long day that you've had today. I know like the work that you've put in, and I'm like, crap, I hope I haven't like hit the tip of the iceberg. Oh, no. Here.
No, that was fine. And for some reason, Mina, I don't know, I don't even care anymore. Like, it's not that I don't care, but if something goes wrong, if someone misunderstands the time, whatever, I'm like, yeah, you know, that happens. That's it. I'm not the old person who used to just get flustered, but everything is going wrong in my life. I don't have that anymore. I don't know what just happened.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, let's just move on and get it done, whatever. Because remember, okay, you spoke about the bad day I had. We prepared for an interview yesterday.
Oh my God, let's not even go into that, please.
I mean, we were supposed to be prepared. We put in like hours and hours of research and work into an interview, and we both came here. I came after lunch with a friend that I had to meet, and I came back home and I sat down in my stupid closet. And we waited here for 1.5 hours, and that person that we had contacted didn't show up.
Mm.
And then we moved on. And Friday, we were supposed to have an interview, but our guest misunderstood the date as Monday. Plus, the guest was not comfortable talking about certain things, which meant that the research we put into that area and the questions we had prepared for that all goes to waste.
Mm-hmm.
That just happened. So I was like, okay. And then if you thought that the interview was starting an hour later, the old me would have just flipped, maybe. But
yeah, but I actually thought you would. I didn't think you would flip, because I don't think you've ever flipped with me.
No,
I don't think we've ever had that relationship where, and the thing is, like, we have composure within ourselves as a team that we know it's not okay to flip with each other, because that's not the kind of team we are, right? It's okay to get angry or like to as I said to get flustered, but it's not that I thought you'd flip, but I just thought like, man, I felt like bad because I knew you had a long day and I didn't want to.
Yeah, and I was just like, yeah, take your time, and I was playing Candy Crush and watching YouTube videos waiting for you. Like,
and
okay,
I ate my burger really fast, Barb.
Yeah, but then, but you know, the thing you said about the children and how we're not getting enough funds and we have to make sure they don't get kicked out of mm-hmm. school. So we've actually talked about this a lot. And one thing that stuck with me from Tia's interview that we did about adoption is how she said she's focusing on getting a really good team to start her orphanages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's quite essential, because there are just so many different things to take care of. Just one person or two people or even a team of three people will not be able to look into all of these things.
Not at all.
You need to have a very efficient team that knows the legal side of things,
mm-hmm.
that knows what has to be done, and even accounts, all of these things. And I remember telling you once that, you know, you need to have two separate funds, one for building the orphanage, which could ideally come in lump sums from well-wishers and people who make donations, and the other one which has to be completely separate from the first one and completely sustainable at the same time, so that it's sort of renewable with a steady stream of money that comes in every month, and that can go into the books, the school fees, clothes, food, and other recurring expenditure regarding the kids.
Mm.
And along those lines, you know, your parents came up with a brilliant idea of starting a chicken farm for the kids so that the renewed income comes in every month. How's that going?
Well, the chickens, we bought the chickens, I think, in April, I think. So obviously we bought them as chicks, right? So they're just growing now. They could start hatching the eggs, or could start laying eggs probably by August. So the idea is that once the chickens start laying the eggs, we sell these eggs, and then the money we make for these eggs, that means that we don't have to worry about a food budget every month.
Hmm.
The only thing we have to do is obviously feed the chickens, but that's still a lot cheaper. But the thing is, Ankita, as you said, you know, you need a proper team doing all of this. And unfortunately, right now, apart from the help I have from you from time to time, and maybe some of my friends from the Dime Jewel website, it's pretty much just me doing it by myself. Like, okay, there's fees to hand. Like, just yesterday, I had to sit with the guy from Kenya and make a full budget. So in August, we have to pay for the school fees, which they start next term. We have to pay for the school food. We have to pay for their books that they need. And then we have to pay for the chickens. And then also, the guy from Kenya was like, you know, Mino, we kind of need a car so we can drive the food around because we're spending money on transport. I'm like, I can't even think of a car right now.
Yeah.
Because the kids have to be alive and the kids have to get an education. Those are the two most important things, right? Keeping the kids alive, making sure they're schooled. So I think what you said is very true, but I don't think that I have the capacity right now to do that. And I think that we have the right processes set in place, and we just have to believe that these processes will work, and then eventually we can figure it out.
No, I just want to say that if anyone is under the misconception that I'm helping out a lot, I'm not. I'm really not. Like, you're the one doing all the work with the orphanage.
No.
Because you set up the charitable account, bank account, and all of these things. You took care of the legal side of things. Everything on your own in Gibraltar. And it's only when you travel to Gibraltar during your holidays that you do all of this. And on top of your exams and everything, you are trying your best to collect funds. And it's not easy. And I've not been really helping you out with much, to be honest. And I can only like come in and ask you, hey, how's the chicken farm going? I didn't even know how you set it up. Like, I don't, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think I did tell, you see, that's the thing, Ankita, like, there's so many moving parts in our lives, whether it's Desi outsiders. I mean, like, I don't think I've spoken to you about 22 Nelson Street in a long time. Usually I ask you, like, oh, so how's it going? Like, I ask him, like, more the technical side, like, analytics and all that.
Yeah.
But just, unfortunately, we have so many moving parts that we don't have a chance to catch up on that.
And unfortunately, I've not been writing for 22 Nelson Street as often as I used to write up until even 2 months ago.
Mm.
Because ever since Desi Outsiders changed into this whole thing where we interview people, the amount of effort and time
yep.
goes into preparing for it. Some on some days when you wake up and you're like, okay, I'm going to write a blog post, something or the other comes up and you have to just ditch that and do the other
thing. I think as well, it's the thing is, like, people don't see this side, but even scripting is writing. But then again, it's not something that you can sort of print out and put on 22 Nelson Street. But
yeah.
I've always, you know, Ankita, I really want to write some articles on feminism India, especially.
Mm.
I have so many ideas that I have, but with what time? Like, when do I do it?
So I wanted to incorporate more of our writing, like your writing and my writing, and something that, especially on something that we're working on together, which is why I thought Dear Barb would be a good idea. So we, at least once a week, we're sitting down and putting our thoughts together, right?
Mm-hmm.
On paper, on metaphorical paper.
Mm-hmm.
And at least that's, I think, one step in the right direction.
Yeah, at least we're getting there. And I think also that we are becoming better at handling all the moving parts together. And that makes it feasible.
Yeah.
Because a year ago, Ankita, when we started Desi Outside in September 22nd, 2016, if we had to do Dear Bob, then we'd be like, no, it was too much.
Yeah. Back then, we didn't even figure out. Everything took so much time. Recording took so much time. Everything was just a long drawn
process.
But
then also, Ankita, not just that, but also last year, I don't want to make it sound like in a rude way, but you would get overwhelmed.
I was a different
Yeah. And even just in the last 5-6 months, you have changed so much with the character, and like you just don't freak out anymore. And there's like a big turning point, which I'm so happy to see. So why and what, and am I talking to Ankita?
No, it's especially been in the past month, because you know that I went through a really tough time since pretty much mid-March to the end of May.
But okay, both of us, like, mid-March to the end of April, more or less. Both of us were not in a good headspace.
Nope.
I was not in a good place, neither were you. And there were times where we'd help each other, but there were times where we both just pulled each other to the other person's sort of negativity, which was so bad.
Do you remember when we would just call each other and start talking about something, and then out of nowhere, the two of us would just be bitching?
Yeah.
And not about... We wouldn't be bitching about anyone.
Uh-huh.
We'd be bitching about how it sucks to be us right now.
Yeah.
And everything, we would just be like, oh my God, this got messed up. The other thing got messed up. This is wrong. That is wrong. And it was such a horrible place to be in. But I think that was a learning process as well. Because I don't know, Meena, I feel like I must be getting older. The things that are right in front of my eyes are starting to become more blatantly obvious to me these days. And I've begun to realize that we're all a part of this planet for such a limited amount of time, right?
Mm.
And that time should... it's better spent on improving ourselves, growing as a person, and just being happy. Like, there's no time in this world for us to be so negative, especially to our own selves.
Mm-hmm.
So at least with me, I've been making the conscious effort to identify all of these main character flaws in me and just be a calmer and happier person. When things go wrong, just be calm.
Mm.
And that's something I was incapable of doing. Calm was something I could not do.
But even things like when I remember when it was about October, and I was studying, and you just called me and you said, oh my God, Meena, I saw something on the internet. I don't know if it's towards me or if it's like,
yeah,
you might not remember, but I still remember a thing. And I don't get me wrong here, but Ankita, I thought for a moment that time, at that point, I thought, can this girl handle like the bigger things that will hopefully come our way? Because I knew we were going to get more hate. I knew we were going to get so many things coming our way.
Oh yeah. I think I remember. And yeah, I remember how I used to just, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I used to get affected very easily. And to be honest, if I look at that girl today, I would wonder if she would be able to handle it.
Because, okay, perfect example. Season 1, episode, I can't remember what episode it was, maybe episode 3 or 4. It had 30 listens in one day. And do you know what you did? At midday, you said, screw this, Meenal, I'm not going to talk to you. So this was a Thursday. Midday, you said, Meenal, I'm not going to talk to you until Saturday. And you started drinking wine.
At noon, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
I started drinking. Yeah, yeah. I almost got to that point on the first episode of this season where I don't know if you remember, everything went wrong.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? There's wine sitting there. It's just like 2 p.m. and I haven't even brushed my teeth yet. I haven't had a glass of water yet, but maybe I should just start drinking wine right now because I'm... Yeah, but I didn't. I was like, I'm doing this to myself. I should stop.
I also used to get really agitated and frustrated, but then I think one big change in my life was table tennis, because it forces you to become so focused that you just get too tired to worry and to bitch about anything else. And I also remember that last year you just could not talk to people. You couldn't talk to me.
Yeah, that hasn't changed much.
No, Ankita, that has changed a lot. Seriously, I mean, when I was in Sweden, usually, so for our listeners, usually I'm the one who replies to people, because I just have a tendency to do it quite quickly and quite easily without any problems. And when I was in Sweden, Ankita had to do that.
Yeah, talk to people, yeah.
Yeah, Ankita had to talk to people.
Yeah.
And you did it so well.
Yeah, but because so I was never a people person, and I still really, really don't like interacting with a lot of people. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because that's just who I am, and I truly accept myself for being that kind of person. But at the same time, when I joined forces with you to become a partner, be it with Feminism India or Desi Outsiders, I did make the conscious choice, didn't I, to manage writers or do what has to be done to get these platforms up and running.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be my prerogative to become someone who would bring value to the team instead of someone who would just crib and whine when something became uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did initially. And now I'm like, no, you can't be that person. So I just basically separated this side of my personality from the professional side that is required. So if there's something that has to be done, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to approach people, get in touch with new people, initiate conversations with celebrities that are so intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just suck it up and do it now, because that's what I signed up for. It was my choice. No one is forcing me to do it. And I want to do it. And I want to be a happy person who's doing what she loves.
Mm.
And I want to do it happily.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of thought process that I've had over the past few months that has changed. But still, trust me, if I have a choice to go out and socialize with someone that I barely know or stay at home and read a book, I would do the reading reading the book thing.
But I'm also like that, Anka. I don't really like making unnecessary interactions. I'm the type of person who goes out a lot with my friends, even at university. But I am the type of person who will be very socially active if I know that I can learn something. So, for example, at the Island Games when I was there, I mean, you're talking to people from all over the world with different perspectives. Now, this lady who I played against in the last match and I just lost to, I spoke to her at the end because I wanted to know more about her life. Because I knew I could learn a lot from this lady. So when I spoke to her, Ankita, it turns out that not just did she just play for 30 years, she's also a full-time dental nurse. And one of her sons needs full-time daycare. And then you just realize that, meanwhile, you're jack shit. You just realize, and that's why it's so important to interact with people in these kind of in these kind of situations. But if my friends, my normal group of friends said, "Hey, let's go out for a drink," I would say no. I've also realized that you've had more of an interest in a healthy lifestyle. Any reason behind that?
No, not really. It's just nothing much has happened to change my attitude towards a healthy life. I think it started back in September when I started feeding myself properly, right? Because I never used to even eat properly.
Mm.
I would just have scraps here and there and that was dinner. But it's when I started reflecting a lot more that I realized how active I used to be as a kid. Did you know that I started dancing from the age of 8?
Mm.
And up until 9th grade, I used to go to dance classes and I had something called the Arangetam for my Bharatanatyam.
Mm. What is that?
And Arangetam is an official like initiation ceremony which qualifies you as someone who's been dancing for a lot of years. And it shows that now you're fully equipped to start performing on stage.
Wow.
This is the first stage performance.
Right, okay.
And they send out invitations. They call your family and your friends and everyone gathers to see.
Is Arangetam, is that a Malayali word? Or is it...
No, I think it's...
Sanskrit?
I think it's related to dances. I don't know if it's the same word in all states.
Oh, right, okay.
But at least in Kerala, mm-hmm. everyone calls it Arangetam. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not, like, really sure about this. So I remember how while we were getting ready for the Arangetam ceremony, my dance teacher used to make us dance for at least 4 hours continuously.
Really?
On an almost daily. Almost daily basis, yes. And you know how hot it gets in
uh-huh.
India? And she would never let us turn on the fan because she said you have to sweat it out. And on top of that, she wouldn't let us drink a lot of water during the practice because she said that, you know how if you're active and then you go drink a lot of water and then you could get a stitch in your stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's like, no, you're not drinking a lot of water. So that is how we used to practice. And I used to get drenched in my sweat. So I had a salwar kameez uniform. And if you wrung that uniform, you know, you could fill buckets with my
really?
Sweat. I would be completely wet from like my head to my waist because the waist is where my salwar kameez pant comes.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't be able to see the sweat beyond that point. But I used to be completely wet by the time I got home with sweat. And that kind of exertion actually used to give me a high. And I can't really explain what kind of high that is. Maybe you understand because you're more athletic.
Yeah.
And you know how when you're exhausted beyond a certain point, you're just so high on energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I grew up dancing and I just stopped dancing because I thought that I had to spend more time studying or whatever. And I forgot how much I used to enjoy being that fit.
Mm.
And once, you know, I was in school and one afternoon when the bell rang after our school break, my friend and I, we didn't hear the bell. So we started running towards our classroom, which was on the third floor of the building. So which it meant that we had to climb 6 flights of stairs.
Mm.
And I just reached the top of the stairs within minutes and she couldn't keep up. And she was like, why do you have such high stamina? Like, how are you not even panting or sweating? And that's how high my stamina used to be at the time. And I used to really enjoy that. So now I've gone back to dancing and Zumba and other things because it makes me happy.
Yeah, I think people tend to forget the sort of endorphins that circulate in your system.
Yeah.
Like today I went training, but I just did a weight session. I was lifting weights and I didn't sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home and I just felt like, well, did I really do anything?
Yeah, you need to sweat.
I get that high as well when I'm sweating, so...
Which is why I could never do Pilates or... Yoga is fine, I guess, but it doesn't make me sweat.
Mm.
So I don't feel like... I need to be drenched like that to feel it.
Yeah. Well, Ankita, we're 40 minutes into this recording, and I think this is where we should put a stop to our brain dump.
Yeah, we should. I don't even know if anyone's going to be interested, because this brain dump was just you and me having a normal conversation. I don't know.
Well, I hope people have learned something. Maybe can take away something from it. If you maybe used to have a healthy lifestyle and you stop for whatever reason, maybe you can get back into it like Ankita did. So
yeah. We
hope you enjoyed this episode. Next week we'll be coming to you with some very exciting guests that we're ready to share with you.
Yeah, and we hope you enjoy all of those episodes. We hope you enjoy the previous episodes from the season, which you can find on our website www.desioutsiders.com. If you have any comments or feedback, please send them to mail@desioutsiders.com, and you can follow us on social media at the Desi Outsiders.
Wow, Ankita, you said that without any script in front of you.
Yeah, I'm really good.
We usually have to put the outro written in front of us because we get confused.
We've been doing this forever.
Yeah. So until next week, I'm Mino.
And I'm Ankita.
And we're the Desi Outsiders.
Okay.